of the Unitarian Universalist Association, based in Boston. After Chris completed the male correspondence course, UUU, he filled out an application with his interests and reasons for wanting a free world review, and was paired by CLF staff with Paula, who also completed an application. Their first letters crossed in the mail in July 2012. Chris, I'm interested in learning how you became a member of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation.
I came to Unitarian Universalism because I was lost in Christ. I wanted, needed a spiritual sense of a community of faith. I found myself wandering abroad with questions, doubts, and flaws that made me who I am. Then a door was opened. I saw a light and was welcomed with all my own fears, flaws, and nagging questions. Who knew it would utterly change my life and that I would find a faith and a friend for life? It never ceases to amaze me how the UUs of the Church of the Larger Fellowship care about the people no one else does. It's so refreshing to see religious people with such open minds.
Dear Chris, I am happy to be writing this letter because I was given your name by the UUU Church of the Larger Fellowship Prison Ministry. This first letter is really one-sided. I'm writing all about me because I know almost nothing about you or what you'd like to hear about in a letter. I look forward to receiving your first letter so I'll be able to write more in the future about what interests you.
Dear Paul, first let me thank you for taking this time to write me. It amazes me that someone out there would take the time and effort to communicate with me. Let me tell you a few things about myself. I'm 31, a person of mixed heritage, black and white, with just a dash of Native American flavor. I was born and raised in Massachusetts, and at 14 moved to Maryland with my mother. Circumstances prompted me to move to Florida at 22 to stay with my father. Things ended very badly, and I spent the rest of my time by myself until I got locked up in June 2005. I'm incarcerated for 15 years and have about 8.5 years left. I have no real hope of other release. I'm locked up for trafficking in OxyContin and robbery, to which, honestly, I'm guilty. I will say I never hurt anyone other than myself, and most of all, those I love and who love me.
As a member of the CLF, Chris is part of the UU Congregation Without Walls, comprised of thousands of people from all over the world who worship together online. Like a regular UU congregation, the CLF is a spiritual community rooted in profound love. They cultivate wonder, gratitude, and the courage to act. The prison ministry offers correspondence courses, books, and a possible pet talk.
Despite all the war I've done in my life, I'll always take solace in my son, Logan. He was born a few years before I got locked up, and it was truly the happiest state of my life. I wish I had done things differently after he was born, but I would change nothing to care about, because if I did, Logan would not be Logan.
Writing to you is a pleasure. I'm challenged when I think of what your daily routine must be, but I'm proud that you've chosen to seek to make real meaning of life through Unitarian Universalism. It's not the easy path, as you know. No quick answers, no do this and all will be well. But I find that being a UU does honor the individual's own striving, own growth, own baggage, and own desire to love and to be loved.
Free World CLF Pen Pals receive access online to the publications incarcerated members receive. Sometimes Paula and Chris wrote about the Quest for Meaning magazine Chris gets, and sometimes Paula wrote about hymns and services.
We will be one in searching for that meaning which lights our hearts and points us on our way. I underline the words that I hope may apply to you. You have time to delve into a greater understanding of who you are and what in you is true. You can search for that meaning which lights our hearts and points us on our way, for it is there for you. You can be a light for others right where you are. In closing, here's your chalice for this letter. here are Chris's letters from July 2012, and you're welcome to look through them and see he began to end all of his letters with drawings, clever drawings of chats.
On February 23rd, all that 6 years, 364 days left, just under 7 years, and nearly halfway through my sentence. I know when it first began, and I couldn't envision ever going home. Now I can start to dream again. And there is a work release facility in Fort Pierce, so I'll be able to see it on a regular basis. I do certainly hope I'll find a woman welcome in a really neat congregation when I go home. I just hope I'll find acceptance. Honestly, do you think my path will be a great hindrance in the Indian community? I mean, I certainly would understand if it did. It's one thing for a group to say they're open-minded and non-judgmental, but actions are so much harder in practice than words are to say. Do you know any programs or anything like that that the UUA has to help ex-felons reintegrate to society? Obviously, my release is still a way off, but it has worked to try to gather as much info as possible. Keep the challenge burning.
What's going on, Chris? You seem more stressed than in the past. Don't misinterpret me, but I'm glad to be a sounding board or a safe place for you to write.
I am on the show now, and it seems to me that I was just totally depressed. I don't use the following words lightly, but I can think of no other way to say it. It's renewing my spirit. I've signed up for the new humanist classes and received some really different look of face I just told you. I believe this is the best fit. Though I still won't discard the idea of God, I feel such a being, if that is even the right word, would be so beyond anything we can conceive that, essentially, it's meaningless to give it our worship. More importantly, I believe, is how we treat each other.
As I mentioned earlier, the CLF mails coarse information to incarcerated members. Chris studied Thoreau and Emerson in 2013.
I have two conflicting and equally valid appealing points on that lesson. They both come from Thoreau. The first is about simplifying one's life. I can certainly understand his aesthetic lifestyle. This place has given me a whole new appreciation for the simpler things of life and of nature. In fact, the taste of a simple piece of fruit has taken on great significance for me. So simple, so beautiful. But here's the opposite. Thoreau says, in the long run, men get only what they need. For someone so content with a simple life, he sure had dreams of leaving his footprints on the sands of time. And of course he did. Didn't he? And that appeals to my ego.
Sometimes Chris would choose a theme and send a letter just about that.
Well, this letter is the most elusive of ideas, hope. It said that hope is the other side of hope. It said that hate is the other side of hope's coin. And for me, for a long time, that was too true. I spent a lot of time hoping for things that never came true. But now, more than any time since my incarceration, I have found a renewed sense of hope. This June will be my 6th year of incarceration, and soon I'll be halfway through my sentence. I've begun to let myself dream about what I'll do when I finally get home.
You sound so well, Chris, and I'm really glad for your continued optimism. I like the way you staged it, starting to dream, knowing that not too far in the future you can start to plan. This Easter was harder for me because of Helen's death. Helen was my stepmother for over 30 years. Dad married her the year Rick and I were married. She was a gentle, lovely woman who made him so happy. Sometimes I thought of her as the gift Dad left us, and she was such a loving grandmother to my children.
I'm truly sorry for the pain I know you are experiencing right now. I get so caught up in complaining about my situation that I sometimes forget life is not always sunshine for you. Helen seemed like she was an amazing person. I know your life must have been enriched beyond measure for having known her.
In November of 2014,
request for a meeting. Jim will read a part of that essay, and you can find both this essay and links to Prison Ministry Partnership on our UMIN webpage under today's date and this service.
I can think of few words more powerful to me than the word hope. When I first started my 15-year prison sentence, I couldn't imagine ever going home. To me, home was nothing more than a fantasy. It was something over which I had no control. And eventually, the only place I was at home was in the streets. Later, the state of Florida gave me home for the next 15 years. But of course, this place is no home. I was no lost forever. I began to search for a measure of faith, for a religious home, something more permanent than a transient physical homes people like me had occupied. So many of the faiths I tried were just too restricted, too dogmatic. For me, they felt like the multitude of places that others had called my own. I wanted so badly to find a place I belong, a spiritual home. To seek home in the physical is to always be disappointed. The more I came to understand this, the more acutely I was aware that I just didn't fit into any of the myriad homes around me. Someone introduced me to a different faith, Unitarian Universalism. At first I was skeptical, but I gave Unitarianism a chance. The Church of the Larger Fellowship embraced my questions. They accepted me as I am, with my questions and flaws. And the CLF made me question myself, my definition of the very concept of family, of friends. Wherever I am, the people around me are my people, with all their triumphs and tragedies, flaws and virtues. I began to understand that home is the place where we find acceptance, not the physical space we occupy. And I have truly found a home in the Church of the Larger Fellowship. More than that, they have truly helped me become a better person. I no longer look to an identifiable and uncertain future for the promise of home. Every letter I get from the CLF, every essay I write, every time I use their teachings to help someone around me, I feel a little closer to home.
Theme, letters about Chris's coursework, UU values, religious questions, drawings of chalices, and thoughts about everyday matters flowed both ways. Paula sent Chris orders of worship from UMIN and note about services, trying to include him as if he were an extended member of our congregation. Still, like everyone, Chris had bad days.
I'm sorry I didn't send you a letter. I was in the middle of a letter when I entered what can only be described as an emotional and spiritual miasma. The lack of any positive outlets, combined with a few officers who make it their point to make our living hell, was just too much. I guess I just shut down. I could fill pages on all the negative aspects of my life right now, but I'd rather move forward.
In the spring of 2016, Paula and her husband Rick decided to visit Chris in person at Jefferson Correctional Institution near Tallahassee, Florida. This kind of visitation is unusual in the Pen Pal Exchange program. It grew from a relationship of over 4 years in writing.
I had never been to a federal penitentiary before, and I can tell you I really did not know what to expect. I will say that getting into a federal penitentiary is a much more elaborate process than getting on an airplane. While they don't allow phones or cameras, Jefferson charges $2 for pictures in front of a mural in the visitor's room. So this is an enlargement of our picture from that first visit. Dear Chris, I am so looking forward to seeing you. I don't believe I can bring anything in except for money for lunch. Otherwise, I bring another book or two for you. Oh, and I'm remembering what you wrote about the English meeting. I could easily see you, with mentoring, getting deep into what I understand of that practice. So I'll be seeing you on Sunday, April 10th, and I'm surely looking forward to a good visit. Try to meditate somehow on your own. Once we figure out how to get books through to you, I'll send something on Buddhism if you like. Here's your chalice for this letter.
Let me tell you how absolutely, positively This, of course, is my first visit in over 6 years, so there is that. But also there is the fact that a friend I grew to know over the last few years would care enough to me. Well, perhaps that has restored my a measure of faith in humanity.
Just a few weeks ago, Paula and Rick again visited Chris at Jefferson. Chris has been studying Buddhism for about a year and has asked for books to help him in his practice. While sending books is also not expected as part of the pen pal relationship, the library at Jefferson is truly limited, and Chris keeps a waiting list for every book he receives so he can share with others.
I became aware of Buddhism during the reading of the novel For the Sake of All Living Things. It is a historical fiction novel about the unbelievable and largely unknown genocide in Cambodia of Vietnam. In it, the character, his tragedies and horrors innumerable, first repeats the first noble truth often. Life is full of suffering. The deeper I dug in, the more Buddhism appeals to me. The second noble truth, the root of this suffering is attached to that which had no permanence, could be a motto for Christians. Nothing good lasts for long. Everything you own is subject to theft and confiscation. Nothing in your lives, your bump, the rules, the friendship. But it was when I learned the true meaning of this Buddhist concept of suffering, dukkha, which roughly means attachment, though with a deeper spiritual meaning, that I began to believe practicing Buddhism could help the survivor's place with my soul intact. For the third noble truth states, there is a way to be free from dukkha and attachment. And the fourth noble truth is the Eightfold Path, a guide to eight areas of practice that helps us to be free from the suffering and attachment that brings us pain. As I began attempting to follow the path, to meditate, to try to simply live in this moment, I began to find a bit of myself. Awakening has not yet come, but progress. I have also seen many parallels between Buddhism and Hinduism. They are both experiential faiths. You must try to follow the path for the person. Neither is a faith of simply saying you believe. Action, practice, is called faith. Both are open to open-minded inquiry. Both recognize the potential of humankind to achieve their own salvation. Neither denies questions and doubts. In fact, they consider them tools of growth. They are both accepting of other faiths. Again, Buddhism does not demand you believe in any God, afterlife, anything you cannot experience for yourself. At their core, both faiths absolutely believe in the interconnectedness of all religions. Ultimately, for me, there is no difference. So I don't know if Hinduism has helped me be a better Buddhist. In fact, it may be the other way around.
I can't guarantee that you develop the kind of friendship that Rick and I have with Chris. Despite his past and the mistakes he owns, he's a rather extraordinary correspondent. But I have to close with this request. There are more than 70 incarcerated Jews who have completed the new UU course and have been screened by the CLF staff and are approved as pen pals who are waiting, some, to commit to writing one letter a month. Professional staff are available for questions and I email them regularly my first year of writing. We Free World Pen Pals now meet monthly with the Boston staff using Zoom video conferencing, and I have heard stories surprisingly like my own from as far away as New Zealand. So I hope you will consider this rewarding way of both serving